shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that as we sing, Jesus is here, knowing that the same one who dwelt in flesh and then turned back the pillar of fire, Elohim, the living God, we know you are here, Lord, and we appreciate that. And we sing about you, and we know that you are here, it's been vindicated. But we know, as Brother Branham said, and Billy Graham said, that one day the people will be still having altar calls, and they'll be, people are being saved, but you will have taken a bride out of here, Lord, and they'll be anointed and speaking in tongues in the genuine baptism. And the baptizer have departed, and we know that's coming upon the earth. We just pray, Lord, that it shall not be amongst us. There won't be any that miss it, Lord, that any turn away from the word or in any way cause themselves problems, because we know that man is an enemy of himself, many times deceived and deceiving. But this hour, Lord, we know that there's no need for deception. As Brother Branham said in the opening of seals, there's nothing that Satan can do about it. There's no way. He didn't know how it was going to be done. And we really doubt, Lord, he knows too much about it, having been done, and what is there, because it was not given to him, but it's given to us. So we thank you tonight for revelation, Lord, and we pray as we go on, day by day, moment by moment, breath by breath, heartbeat by heartbeat, we'll appreciate it more and more and become more and more sincere in the things of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're number 19 in this second sermon of Brother Branham's on Spoken Word's Original Seed. And last Sunday morning we heard Brother Branham reiterate how Eve was found pregnant by other than her husband. So was Jehovah's bride, and so was the bride of Christ. All three were pregnant with what he called the seed of death of Satan's lie, and that's very true, which produced the tares, while Joseph found his wife pregnant with the seed of God, which was the word that she accepted. And you'll notice that like produces like. So what she accepted had to come forth, and it did come forth, and that accepted word produced Jesus Christ. Now, if you just stop to examine that and realize that Mary was no different from you and me, and that accepted word brought forth what that word was meant to bring forth within the human vessel, the same thing is here today in the fact that, as Brother Branham said, the church could not bring forth Christ, and we'll hear that some more tonight, we'll look at it, and therefore the church neither could receive the promise of God for this hour, which lay in a ministry, for their minds were blinded and the veils of denomination were not swept away, Satan having blinded their eyes with creeds and dogmas, there is no way that they can possibly have performed and perform that which they are claiming. See, light brings forth light. That seed brought forth the manifestation of that seed of that hour. And Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, having for doctrines, having for your former worship and your commandments, your doctrine, the traditions of men, which boils down to the fact also that if they are not correct, it's just like Cain now, if they're not correct on their division of the word, the worship is completely intolerable. God rejects them and rejects the worship. And the word of promise cannot be fulfilled to them. See, Cain came looking for approbation, but he could not because he never came to the blood. Now, let's just take a little look at that. And Cain might have stood back and said, well, now, Abel, I accept the fact that blood is offered for sin. I have no problem with you doing it. And then he comes along and offers his sacrifice. Now you can see right there the blood won't do one thing for him. It can't. It's impossible. See, there's where John 3:16 is so utterly taken out of context. There is no such thing as a universal salvation. If you believe in universal salvation, you must believe the devil and Jesus Christ are going to walk hand in hand on the streets of glory. And the next thing you're going to have to believe is that Jesus and God is the same person. You just go further and further into the from what you think is sublime, or they think what's sublime, into the extreme ridiculous. So when Mary received that word, which she did, see, that was actually produced in her body. Now, you cannot and I cannot produce such as she produced, but the principle is there. What is to be produced for this hour is going to be produced in human bodies. Well, look at the fact of Elijah coming. Look at the fact of the days of the Son of Man. Look at all of these things. Then look to the fact, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Again, they without us cannot be made perfect. Now, Brother Branham then quickly went to Matthew 4 to show how that Satan tempted Christ with the end result in mind that Christ worship him, even Satan, and thereby Christ would gain the whole world which Adam forfeited by reason of standing with Eve in her unbelief, which he did. And you notice what Adam did. Now, Eve opened herself to propagate the world with serpent seed. Now, wasn't that nice and tasty little dish? Now, Adam comes along, and he's going to propagate the world with sons of God. Where do you find anything in the Scripture that indicated that she should have anything to do with the propagation of that which was not of God? And God said, every seed, every plant that I have not planted is going to be rooted up. And they're going to be burned at the end time. They'll be resurrected and destroyed in the lake of fire. See, remember, Brother Brown preached one of his last sermons in February 1965. The shuck is not air with the seed. It's burned. Now notice how it comes through the channels of that God laid down in natural reproduction. Now see what this should not have been. Adam should not have brought children in. No way. And what happened? Right down the road, the sons of God began to see the daughters of men were fair, and they took wives of all, and that's exactly why the flood came. In the end time, it says they'll mingle the seed again. Just exactly what that means, I really don't know. But it could be a spiritual connotation whereby people are mingling the seed that is going to bring forth the resurrection and is going to bring forth immortality that brought us right to the tree of life is going to mingle with these creeds and dogmas. The wrong seed. And we're going to talk about that where Brother Branham talks about the seed having been planted. These things I really don't know too much of. But I can tell you what he said. And whatever I know about it, we can talk about. Now, this temptation and obedience to Satan was repelled by the Word, which example lets us know that Satan worship is not what people think it to be, as some gross form of oblation, as killing cats and dogs and children and the shedding of blood and doing all kinds of stupid things, even sex orgies, which they get into. But it's what Brother Branham said, Methodist, Baptist, witchcraft. Now, see, he rebuked the preachers for not standing as Christ stood, who, if they would stand with the word revealed by vindication, would make them absolutely undefeatable, even as Jesus. See, they'll overcome the wicked one. He then struck at their fear of their organization, which organizations were their meal tickets, and condemned them as twice dead, rotten, plucked up by the roots. Now we're going to go to the bottom of page 35, and we'll start reading. Fifth paragraph. Oh, people, God bless you. Hear me. I can't believe anything but God's word, and I want it to be my life. Well, that would mean a superimposition. The man's already got a life. So he's saying, look, like Paul, I want to get rid of what I've got and take on this other. Now, actually, we're living almost like a twin existence because we're still here in the flesh. But Brother Branham categorically said with the baptism with the Holy Ghost, it becomes not truly commensurate. He didn't say, in my understanding, it was 100% the same, but he presented it as having bypassed the word body. The baptism with the Holy Ghost makes up for it. As he said concerning David, he said, had David been baptized with the Holy Ghost, he never would have done that terrible thing which he did. And let's look at it in the truth. Do you think anybody truly full of the Holy Ghost could do something like that? They would have to have laid down something and become insane to ever even think of it. So Brother Branham says, I can't believe anything but God's Word, and I want it to be my life, everything that I am. I want you to do the same. Let your walks, your talks, your moves, everything you do be in the Word of God. Let the mind of Christ come into you, and that will impregnate you with the Word. If you don't, if you let the mind of denominations come in, you'll be denominationally impregnated. If you let the mind of Christ come into you, he can't deny his own word because he's God. You'll be impregnated with the Word and believe it. I don't care if they put you out, kick you out, run you out, and every door is closed, you'll go on just the same. Amen. Now he says over here, and this is something that we look at in the light of some false doctrine that's being propagated amongst us. And Brother Branham said, I can't believe anything but God's Word, and I want it to be my life, everything that I am, and I want you to do the same. Now, of course, he's talking about God's Word based on vindication. Because, hey, the Baptists have got God's Word, the Presbyterians got God's Word, the Pentecostals got God's Word. There's millions got God's Word, but he's not talking about that. He's talking about his own realization by vindicated revelation that he's giving us the opportunity to accept it and to walk in it. Now, let your walks, your talks, your moves, everything you do be in the Word of God. And let the mind of Christ come into you and get rid of denominations and all of these things. Then he said you'll be thoroughly impregnated with the Word of Almighty God. Now, you'll notice in here, as we've talked many times, he's talking about revelatory faith, which is passive, and he's talking about active faith, which is not passive, but active faith without the passive faith, the true revelation, will get you nowhere but into condemnation, the same as it did with Cain. Never forget your alphas and your omegas. If any church in the world has been taught this in 2 centuries, I stand before God knowing you have been taught here, and I don't believe there's a record since the time of Paul. And because of Brother Branham's teaching, alpha and omega, watch it. Never forget it. So, all right, you will notice that the works of Cain were produced by a wrong revelation. And though in the Bible was not accepted and brought into the place not only of destroying his any reality he might have had, because now he was fully imbued with this thing, he killed his brother. Now, the two-soul doctrine, which is very ridiculous, which we showed him, it's my books is ridiculous anyway. If I'm wrong, I have to meet God for it. But I cannot see it. And as I showed you in the first sermon of Brother Branham's on Spoken Word as Original Seed, he spoke of the dual. And that comes from the book of James. To not be double-minded, which means double-souled. And in there you will find that this guy in James, he takes the Word and he doesn't take the Word. He's a hypocrite one time and he ends to go forward the next time. There is no stability. And you'll find that particular man is messed up on the carnal and the physical, which I've said many times, quoting the Scripture. If you cannot handle the unrighteous mammon, God will not commit to you the true riches. It can't be done. So what about these preachers out here that steal and we have the experience, and they get out here and they ask for money and everything else, and they just blow it? Now, don't tell me a real revelation is there and a real born-again experience, because the Word of God is against it. And in this last hour, don't begin to hope there's going to be a sudden change where they're all going to be wonderful. They already believe they're wonderful. You couldn't change them if you tried. So don't waste your time. Since 1956 is getting worse and worse and worse. Now, as we've seen even on film, we are at the end of time. The secrets of life are being made known to us. Even get down to the Condriana, minute things that take 12,000 magnification, never seen before, they exhibit an intelligence. And the intelligence is not the same as an animal. And all life is intelligent. So what about tree life? Even tree life is intelligent. but not like ours. See, you must realize those things. All right. Now, Paul speaks here, I mean, Brother Branham speaks here of being like him as concerning the truth. Now, Brother Branham at this time is quoting and repeating from the ministry of St. John in the first epistle and in the first chapter, the seventh verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now again you will notice, Brother Branham said, what communion or fellowship does a man who believes all the word have with those who do not believe all of it, or only believe a part of it? Now we're supposed to build a house around ourselves because we preach the presence. You tell me where I'm off one iota on the presence. Call it Perugia. Listen, call it anything. Think of a bob, hookagizzy. I don't care what you call it. It's there. And if you're ashamed to stand with the Word of God, no matter what it's called, and acknowledge it, there's something mighty wrong with you. And if you can't understand, that is Elohim. That is Jehovah. The one that didn't have a beginning. That's the same one that Brother Branham said. God, when Moses was sent to Egypt, God did not only appear with Moses in Egypt in signs and wonders, but he himself appeared in the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. So today, and we have his picture. What more do you want? Right. Amen, it's enough. It's more than enough. Brother Branham categorically said, what was seen in Africa produced 30,000 souls and untold miracles, and you can do it here. It's pointed up 30,000 times down here. And they say, oh, what else is new? God's on the scene. Well, when was he ever on the scene? They haven't got a clue to Alpha and Omega and Exodus and things of God. No more divine scripture than a Hottentot. Certainly. Now, there's a walk that goes with it. And it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. That is passive. And we have fellowship one with another, and the blood cleanses. That's John 3:16 and 17, 18. I keep quoting it to you. And Hebrews 10. By now, men in this congregation should be able to preach every sermon I've been preaching. The same as I'm able to preach Brother Branham's. You're no longer little children. You're senior citizens. You are so hard that the only blood you can pump is the light that comes from Christ. You haven't got room for the arteries that pick up any old thing in the world and pass it off. You've been sold in the marketplace. So these two sold people's got the idea, like poor old Ned told this girl, I told you about more than one time, what he said, honey, you didn't do it. That's as goofy as the guy that was raping women left and right. I was a spirit. I didn't do it. I said, Don, I want to ask you a question. Did you enjoy it? He said, yeah. I said, you did it. How can a spirit enjoy flesh? You going to get a kick out of those things, a spirit? Come on, you're dealing in the junk that Brother Branham condemned about the sons of God angels coming down and cohabiting with women and bringing forth sons. That's that stupid crud of demigods. Oh, listen, brother, sister, haven't we got to the place where we can even wipe that mucus off of our noses or something? That sounded pretty rough. I meant it to be. I meant it to be. When I look at life and myself and everything, my insincerity and people's around me, I don't know, listen, who's bride for God's sake anymore? Where's a bride? Tell me. We look in the mirror. And I'm going to tell you one thing about that. Looking in that mirror, we've only got one hope. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's a walk that goes with it. There's a walk with it. I don't care what Iverson says. You didn't do it. She did it. And the girl said, that's the trouble, Ned. I did it and I enjoyed it. She was condemned for her profligacy and I hope she's cleaned up by now. Look, and let's go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and see this man, William Branham, is quoting Paul all the time. Beyond the curtain of time, he said, I preach what Paul preached. And now, if he's this man that should come, you better believe that he is 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10. You better, you're not just Malachi 4, 5, and 6. He's a part of 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. He's right down there hanging out in Ephesians 1, 17. Right down the line, he's that voice. Okay, we go to Galatians 5. Notice in verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's the same as if Romans, the 8th chapter. There's no condemnation to them that don't walk in the flesh, but after the Spirit. And in verse 25, if you live in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Here the man comes along and says, hey, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What did Paul say about the man that had his father's wife? And I'm not going to call it incest or this or that. I don't know. He said, turn him over to the devil. He said, I'm ashamed of you people with your callous ignorance concerning the kingdom of God, your puffed up pride, that you tolerate it. I'm going to tell you something. That's the thing. That's the thing that lets you know that you and I are tolerating things in people because they're in our church and we like them and we don't want to ring the curtain down. It'll bring in stuff just as rotten as that, where the church is reeking and rolling with sexual sin. And remember, it goes to AIDS. And AIDS is God's sentence, not necessarily upon the person doing it, but upon the AIDS itself. And they're going to find more and more people that can't even understand how they got it. And even men like Dr. Merkel and these guys with their ozone and their oxygen and all of these things, I'm going to tell you, that little cruddy thing gets in your lymph glands, and that's a logical place for it. So what are you going to do with the blood? That's where the chondrion all are. The lymph glands pick up that junk. So what if they're in there just waiting for the time you get a little bit strung up? How many of us tonight might even have them lurking in there, but they'll never hatch because we're children of God, because that's against this generation. Remember, he said, and he tells you flat, he's on the third and fourth generation, and he lays it on the line right across the board for nations. It's no longer a personal thing. It's public. As a curse upon the entire nation, as the Word of God has already said. Look at Colossians, the 2nd chapter, 6 and 7. As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Then it said, beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and not after the root of the world, and not after Christ. See, there's something laid down there for you and me to understand, and there's a walk to walk in. I get appalled when I see people just stand up in their sin and look and say, well, in other words, don't condemn me, bless God. God's my master. I'll do what I want and answer to Him. Oh, you bet you'll answer the same as I answer. Yeah. And people think they got some kind of a call. If you got a call, you'll answer that call, or God will mop the floor with you or take you off the scene. When sin abounds, grace does not abound. It just tells you grace is not abounding. For sin has had the door closed. Yeah. Listen, he says right here, he said, you walk in that. You talk in it. Let this be your conversation. Let this be your life. Let this how you make your moves. In the grace of Almighty God, in spiritual revelation, and in a walk. And if you go to the Bible, you're going to find that all 10 commandments are there except the Sabbath day. Every one of the commandments, loving the Lord our God with all our hearts, not stealing, not lying, and not coveting, not committing adultery, not killing, not stealing, this and that. And the man come along and say he's full of the Holy Ghost and disobey the word of Almighty God, tattletale everything else, make up stories, do his best to sow seeds of discord. The book of Proverbs tells you a guy like that is the kind of man that God hates. I don't understand it. I simply don't. It's a one-to-one army these days, and I'm not hitting anybody here. It's just a matter of saying the truth. Brother Branham said over there in Joel, that army that walks straight forward, one-to-one. If it's a one-to-one, we ought to mind our own business and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. As never before. Put away all this junk and this stuff. It isn't worthy. Now, let's go a little further, and let's just look at something here. He said, if you let the mind of Christ come into you, he can't deny his own he can't deny his own word because he's God. I'll take that in a minute. But he says here, you'll be impregnated with the word. Now, what does it mean to be impregnated? It means to be permeated, imbued, and soaked. Now, we've all heard of wood that's pregnated with certain materials. We've heard of what's called a pregnant thought. So therefore, Brother Brown is speaking. As he's speaking, he's speaking in terms of the last church age messenger, where it distinctly said, I would you were hot or cold, but not lukewarm. I would that you were imbued, that you were set on fire. Even as Brother Branham brought out in the seal so beautifully, he used the word stimulation, you know, the wine of stimulation, and he called it stimulation. When we cease to be thrilled with this revelation, let's understand this. We never had it to begin with. We just thought we saw something. Just thought we saw. If you are stimulated, if you are imbued, if you are soaked. There's a thing about that word soak that I like. It's a word ret, R-E-T, which means to soak flax until it separates where it's made into a cloth, but more so into linen that you write on. So the more you're soaked with the Word of God, the more you'll be a living epistle read and known of all men. Now, why do I say that? Because the prophet says it. If you let the mind of Christ come into you, he can't deny his own word because he's God. And Brother Branham made the statement. And he said, if you confess the Word of God, which is your testimony becomes that, and you stay with it, there will come a time when God will make your body obey that word. Well, Brother Dale, if this isn't it, I'll know the real thing when it comes. Oh, yeah? And what are you soaking your soul in? How many are sitting on the fence tonight? I can't even got a fence to sit on. I'm 79 years of age. What am I going to do at my age? Run after some guru? Oh, fap on your guru. I wouldn't give you 10 cents a dozen for it. Run where somebody can discern. I've seen the world's greatest discerner. After I've seen Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, I don't go down to some little flea jerk circus. I'm not interested. Pardon the expression of comparison, but I want to let you get it across. Brother, sister, listen. We had better believe. Now listen, you'll be impregnated. You'll be permeated. You'll be imbued. You'll be literally soaked. You know what they did in the ark? They impregnated that those logs. The gopher wood is hollow inside. So they took the pitch and they hammered it in. I'm going to tell you, she floated. Amen. When this ark gets enough pitch of the Word of God hammered in, she's impregnated, she's permeated, she's imbued, she's stimulated. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the ark would have taken off without water if the water hadn't come. Sir, it was made to get up above it all. Oh, it wasn't quite that way. I thought I'd throw that in to give you an idea of what happens when you're truly impregnated with the Word of Almighty God. And we believe it. I don't care if they put you out, kick you out, run you out, and every door is closed. You'll go on just the same. Now, he said here that God will not deny his word. Now, let's take a look at the word deny in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses maybe 8 to 19. I think I got there written down here. I remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's the flesh body. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. In other words, Paul confessed to the resurrection. They said, get rid of that bird. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we were dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Now then, this is the point we're looking at tonight. This is now Omega of the Alpha. And Paul had the pillar of fire, and he had vindication. And he's 100% sold like Brother Branham. And I know he must have said the same thing Brother Branham said. And Paul would stand there and say, let me tell you this. If God tells me tomorrow morning to go down and raise Moses, or even Pharaoh, I'll go down and raise him, or you can shoot me down. Horrors. What do you mean, horrors? Are you going to charge God with a little second-hand stunt when God runs the universe? And one word makes it, and one word blows it up, and one word recreates it? Are we dealing with some little figment of our imagination where we compare God to us? Listen, you can't even compare God to a volcano that's erupted. The hurricanes and all the things that might come forth. People just don't believe in him. Now he said, watch what he says here. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. 8 people will make the ark. 5 billion will say no. God's going to stand back and say, hey, they don't believe me. I guess they got to call it off until they will. You know something? I hope by now you are not too offended by how I preach and what I preach. But you know something? I'm so glad. This message is bringing us down to 8 people. I'm glad I've got something that is so ludicrous in the mind of people, so far-fetched, so stupid, so ignorant, so cruddy, so shameful, so abominable. Yeah, they say. 8 people will take it because of the things I'm saying. Yeah. This is the dividing. The Word of God divides. Alpha is Omega. It split the races, the sons of the devil and the sons of God, right there after the Garden of Eden, when one man, by his own ignorance and reasoning and stupidity and pride, like Satan said, well, bless God, that's what I'm going to do, and God had better receive it. And Abel just stood back and shed his blood with the other shed blood upon the altar, just like Christ. Yep. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. That's going on right today in this, right around here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's already divided for us. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stand assured, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them which are his. And Paul was telling him right there who the Lord's were. Brother, sister, in this day when the word has come, and we judge by the word, you don't have to stand back like a second-rate sinner out of hell or someplace else, and just kind of look at it and snivel and wonder. Why do you think Brother Branham preached the way he preached? Why do you think God gave him vindication? To make him feel good? Oh, no, brother, sister. Judgment is in the land, and it's all over.
Amen.
Deny. Oh, how they deny. The second, the 13th verse especially, if we believe not, he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. And I'll tell you, God will see his elect through. Let's go over here to 2 Peter, the second chapter, and notice what Brother Peter tells us about the end time. But the first verse, there were false prophets also among the people, even there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. To deny the Lord, how do you deny the Lord? How do you say no to him? You can only say no if he brings before you a question. And you know it's the devil that does the questioning, and Brother Branham says we have the answer to the devil's question. There are people that deny him, and they do. What does it mean to deny him? Let me tell you flat. They deny Luke 17 and 30, the days of the Son of Man. They deny Matthew 12. They deny John 15 and 24. If I had not done the mighty works that no other man had done. They deny John 12, 14 and 12. One man doing the greater works. They deny Malachi 4, 5, and 6. I want to ask you one question. Who is in that? They fail to realize that God was in that Son. And it's not God the Son. That's asininity. That's stupid. It's the Son of God. And he was in him. And the Son said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And Brother Branham said, same thing. You're looking at me, aren't you? Prophets are prophets. Jesus was no different from any other prophet, except he was the whole Word. He was the Son of God, and he acted in the same capacity, which was by vindication, and God in him doing the work, and God in him speaking, and doing and working by what? Vision. Jesus never came down and said, watch me operate. Oh, he said, my Father worketh hitherto, now watch my smoke. Oh, come on, that's asinine. He said, I don't say one thing unless my Father tells me to say it. And I don't do one thing except he shows me. And that's by vision. And people come along and say, well, Brother Branham, you wouldn't dare to compare yourself. Oh, God have mercy. Oh, listen, brother, sister, a horse has 4 feet. A horse has 4 feet. And the second horse has 4 feet. And the third horse has 4 feet. And the fifth horse has 4 feet. And the millionth horse has 4 feet. A prophet! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1 million are all the same. Come on. How many times did you have to see a horse to know a horse? How many times did you have to see the picture not to recognize a horse when a horse was out there? To answer me in the negative, you couldn't do it, then you've got less brains than the horse. And you're not human. Right? Not being nasty, just putting it on the line. You're going to cut the mustard, cut the mustard. They denied it. Why? Because he was in it. See? My. Christ is now taking himself a bride to be impregnated with his own seed word in her womb, spirit womb, and in her mind, and won't mix with any denominational trash with it. She's a virgin to him. Now, she's not a virgin to him on the ground. Isn't she a lovely virgin? Oh, she's a crud, but oh, she's a lovely virgin to me. Like that idiot, you know, that was going around, Brother Branham had to rebuke him. He was running around with a married woman who was divorced, and he had a wife. Now, he wasn't committing adultery as far as we know, but he might have, you know, it would have led to it likely. And he had this pretty little dream about it. That he had this dream that his wife had committed adultery on him, and he forgave her. And he said, well, that's the Lord has forgiven this woman. So it's just like a sister running around. Brother Brad said, that sure sounds pretty, but it ain't the Word of God. There's too many pretty ideas that simply are not the Word of God. So let me tell you something. She's not just a virgin to him because she's so lovely. Oh, she might have been married 16 times, got 3 boyfriends now, but you know, there's something about her. Oh, she's still a virgin. A little holy water, eh? Come on. She ain't no virgin unless she's a virgin. So it means when she's a virgin to him, she's a virgin to him. She won't touch anybody else, and he's the Word. She's not interested. Have to pick up a lot of books of gook and gunk. The books have been corrected. This Bible didn't need correction. It just needs exposing as to the true revelation. We've got it. Who needs anything else? All right. She's a virgin to him. Now he said, Christ is now taking a bride to be impregnated, to be imbued, to be saturated, to be stimulated. Oh, we're back to the Songs of Solomon. My beloved comes leaping upon the hills, and she's enamored, she's carried away, she's crazy for this man. Suddenly he's no longer there. So what does she do? Well, she misses everybody, so she jumps in bed with a neighbor. Hogwash. She goes looking for him, and she can't be happy until she finds him. And people try to molest her. They try to grab her. She fights them off. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. I don't care 2 bits. A hunk of junk. She's a virgin to him. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. She's not been fooled. Brother Branham said there's going to be a bride. There's got to be because it said so. He's coming to bride whose garments are washed. She's been washed in the waters of separation. She's undefiled. She hasn't a spot. She hasn't a wrinkle even on her garments. That's what she is. Don't let somebody accept that like the Virgin Mary. That's what she is. Oh, yeah. Invisible union. Oh, I remember sitting there in a room 3 days in there praying and waiting on the Lord and fasting. When that struck me, I thought, oh, God, what is it? Here I am in a picture. Here I am. If I bring up this much to the church, where will I be? I'll have them on a limb. What can I do? I've seen the churches every type and shattering in us, and what does he see? She's gone. No virgin, nothing for Christ to come to. Yeah? Out in the desert, no water. So the poor camel dies. What's God going to do? Fold up. God's gone. Nothing to come for. Nothing there. So what happens? No water, no food, you die. So God dies. See, that's what he's looking at. It's finished, it's gone. A dead end. No place to go, phased out. Dead, no resurrection. We'll have to work something else up. And then I thought of that word, I will restore, saith the Lord, I will restore. Now, Brother Branham goes to an example in nature. Remember the old pine tree. When the fire hits her and burns her down, she shakes off a seed, though. That seed brings forth a new one. That's a new tree. That's right. Same tree. That's right. The old trees are burned up with organization and everything else, but there still remains a seed of word, God's word, because his word cannot ever expire till it's fulfilled. It must be fulfilled. See, it'll come right back and reproduce itself just as sure as the world. That's physical world standing here, the rocks and all. Yes. Now, she won't miss it. He's telling you right now there will be a bride, there will be a people. There is no way that God's word can fail, because just like that tree that gets burnt down, it absolutely encourages the seed that was in the ground to come on up with all the junk cleared away. Now this tree's got the full effect of Almighty God, the goodness, like Brother Branham said, if the seed is fertilized proper, germatized, and the soil is properly fertilized to the seed, he said, all you need is the sun and the rain. And that's 100% true. Ask any farmer, and he'll tell you that. And if he says anything different, he ain't a farmer. Right, Greg? Sure, that's everybody knows that. You could be just a gardener and know that. See? That's right. Old trees burned up with organization, everything else. But there's that seed there is going to produce. And God, and the bride, there's going to be a church that won't miss it, a true bride. Notice, we believe we're in the end time, don't we? Do you believe that before you have a crop now, you have to plant a seed? Now, Brother Branham said there's got to be a crop. The harvest is the bride. There's got to be. Now, looking at what there is, forget it. Forget it. Just not with it. So, all right, now, that seed, no matter what, like a tree burnt, or like that stump, remember, the tree cut down the time of Nebuchadnezzar and a band put around it. Like Job said, with the scent of water, the tree buds. So, all right, it's not going to fail. Now, he said, we burn with the intent. Do you believe that before you have a crop, now you have to plant a seed? That's right. Do you see why I've let churches turn me out? Tell me everything. Call me all kinds of names and everything else, and just stay right with the Word. Why? Because he knows no matter how far everything is gone, there's nothing can go too far against the Word of God. Remember, the wrath of man will praise God. He makes it to praise him, and the remainder wrath he doth restrain. So, all right, God's going to step in here. Now, see? All kinds of names, everything else, and just stay right with that word. What word? Is God vindicated him? See? Friends, it's already done. What's done? The planting. I can say it now. It's over. That's right. She's done been planted. Oh, yeah. So have denominational seed all the rest of them. Now remember, he talked about that previously. And he talked about the Pentecostal seed and the denominational, the fundamental, all of those seeds have been planted. And they have been planted. We haven't seen the full results of the planting of every single seed. We're seeing it. But Brother Branham said, we've seen the seed planted that he had. And he's talking about himself in the end time here. What is it? The root of planted seed is vindication. Vindication means this, that right there, God was planting that seed. And it's the seed of the word in the hour in which it's given and the minute and the second. So now that the seed is planted for this virgin, there's going to be a progression. And there's a progression as Brother Branham, when he preached at the end of his message, and he said, you'll notice how it's gotten clearer and clearer. And more simple, too. We believe that. All right, he said, she's done been planted. I can say it now, it's over. That's right, it's done been planted. Yeah, so has denominational seed and all the rest of them. Now, because of vindication. Now notice, it was the same with Moses, it was the same with Jesus, it was the same with Paul. The seed was planted. Now where was it planted, number one? In the prophet. In the prophet. And that's where it came forth to you and to me. And that seed planted in him, absolutely by his belief in it, brought forth more and more vindication and more revelation, and you and I believing have grown up in the faith. All right. Like our great precious brother Billy Graham said right here in Louisville, and said, now Paul could go into a city and hold a revival. He'd have one convert go back the next year, and he's got 60 from that one. And he said, I can go and hold a six-week revival at 20,000 converts, come back in 6 months and can't find 20. What is it? They're not converts. They're converts to denominationalism. That's all. Certainly. Now, you've got to plant seed, but you plant denominational seed, that's what you get. Come now, brother, join the church. Put your name on the book. That's all. That's all they know. That's what they call proof text salvation. You believe this, that, come shake my hand, you're born again. And some of the greatest preachers, I guess America's seen in this last 20th century, have done that very thing. Preach a fantastic sermon on Christ, the works and ministry of Christ, salvation through the blood, the power of the Holy Spirit, and then all of this, come shake my hand. You believe it, I believe, that takes care of it. It doesn't. You must be baptized in water and be baptized with the Holy Ghost. All right, that's the way it is. Now, Pentecost has done the same. Just going back here to the fact that before I go on there, we say the seed was planted. The seed was planted, absolutely, when Brother Branham stood in that river. Before he had signs and things and visions that was good. That was planting already, the prophet. But for the word to really come forth, you know how it finally came forth under the seven seals, the seven thunders, and then Brother Branham taken off the scene. It was that planting. Remember, there's only one person can plant. Like Christ said, I planted, and Paul said, I have planted. Another man watered, it goes to the prophet. We've seen it planted. And now that the prophet's gone, it's all over, except the fulfillment of it. All right, Pentecost has done the same, planting. They spoke in tongues and so forth. That's all you have to do. That's got it. Come on, join the church. All right, get your false baptisms and so forth and go on, and that's all you have to do. See? All right, then he says a false baptism. What is a true baptism? Well, let's look at a true baptism. Let's go to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. And we'll begin to see what a true baptism is. And in verse 44, it says over here, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. You notice how it came? A genuine baptism comes after a genuine word. Now, you people say, well, I wonder if I genuinely feel of the Holy Ghost. How could it be otherwise? You're back to Alpha. Omega cannot be different from Alpha. Now, you can have all kinds of junk in between. Don't let that fool you. See? Don't let it fool you. There's always been that life coming up because the life is in human vessels with the Holy Spirit seed in the soul of man, which soul comes from God. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And man became a living soul. He became the propagator. There is a natural election. Now, if over in Peter, I didn't quote the scripture. I looked in the wrong place, and I wasn't too excited about finding it for it. I'm not even right now. But it wasn't in 1 Peter, the first chapter. It's over in the second chapter. It tells you about Christ being the elect one. Elect of God. Okay. So that's, you got to realize, even Christ was in there by natural election. Every one of us has a natural election, but remember, it's a spirit that brings a natural. Remember, when the earth brought forth the beast, the spirit was there already. The life was there. But now watch. All right, false baptism against true baptisms. Now, let's look again at a true baptism. Let's go to John chapter 7. Christ is speaking here in the street. He's raised his voice in the street. He doesn't do that in this day. Because the prophet talks to us. All right? 37:39, the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. Doesn't say anything else. You don't believe Christ indiscriminately and say, well, isn't it wonderful? And you take a little bit of scripture, then leave the rest of it. Why, you have an imperfect Christ. You have a paraplegic on your hands. You can't do that to the Word. Christ is the Word. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, but not anybody else's. It doesn't get down to the belly. It gets anointing on the Spirit. All you do is get gifts, and you palm off gifts for the Holy Spirit. How many would like to have a marriage where the man just sends you a gift? Well, the woman just sends you a gift, sends you a postcard. That's your marriage. Oh, brother, I take the postcard and burn it. I get me another woman. Just that simple. So why are you trying to fool with Christ? It's as the scripture said. That's why marriages are all messed up. They don't lift a vow. They vow and they don't mean a vow. It's a tragic thing. I've seen young women, not in this church, by the grace of God, I certainly hope not. They make a vow and they no more mean it than nothing. They make the vow and say, well, it's time to kick the heels up against the man they marry. I enjoy my mother better. This than anything. You're perverted. Well, come on, look at ourselves. Let's begin to understand. We're not fooling any longer. I'm tough on these things. You better believe it. We've got some wonderful marriages in this church. I tell you, I'm very proud of this church's marriage, our young people's marriages. Unless you're fooling me, and I could be quite fooled because my eyesight's not so good. I look in the mirror and I think, hey, I'm not so bad looking after all. So you can tell exactly how bad my eyesight is. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. You can be a hypocrite. I can be one, but we can't fool God. That proved it right there. He read all the hearts, and you couldn't try hide if you tried 5,000 people sitting there. That's a pretty big assemblage. I said, Brother Brown, there's 5,500 people in that crowd that night. There wasn't one could hide. And I was hoping maybe he'd open me up to see what's with me or wrong with anything else. I do my best to pull, and then finally he got, said he wouldn't even look anywhere, turn around and look. Man, I pulled. I want a knee exposed and everything about me, as far as I'm concerned, that would have been great. Just get rid of the crud, get rid of it, and get healed at the same time. Bless God. That's what's wrong. Where's the prayer of faith today? When the elder comes in and prays the prayer of faith, and the man gets healed. Show me where that's happening. Well, Brother Bailey, ain't doing too good stuff. I never said I was. I just said, show me where it's happening. And nobody volunteered. Said, well, Brother Bailey, we got it here. Because you ain't got it here. See, listen, let's get... As Brother Brown said, get next to yourself. We're looking at these things, and by the grace of God, we must positively understand false baptism, false word, as against the real. Let's go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Hey, man, we've got something here that's really interesting. Here's a picture right here. Ephesians 5, 25 and 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, watch. Now, this part of husband, love your wives is very good. I appreciate it. But the real thing right here is what Christ did. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it may be holy and without blemish. When that spirit becomes incarnate to us, We're crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's going to be the presentation. We're coming to it very, 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 very rapidly. Now, oh man, here we are. Blessed be the Lord. Now we come to the body to be the bride of Christ, to be his flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Now, he said, now we're coming to the place where we're going to see there is a real bride. I don't care how dismal the picture looks. I don't care what kind of mess the church is. I don't care how many harlots are out there living in their sin, their adulteries, their idolatries. He said, forget it. There's a seed. And just like Mary, be it unto me according to thy word. Now listen, that's thy word. How many of us are saying, Lord, be according to me, according to the word of your prophet, which is vindicated to be your word? I'm saying what Mary said. And I may be going around about the bush to say it, but I want to know that you know, and I know, and everybody knows what word of the Lord I'm referring to. Nobody but William Branham's message, which is Paul's gospel. Now, people can do what they want, but that's oh, right. Now, Brother Bill, you see, Brother Bill, you're going too far. What are you talking about? What's too far? What are these people living in? Lee Dale's gone too far. Yeah, he even builds a house around. What do you think? I'm stupid. I know the hour in which the Son of Man's coming. I've all been through that. Now I'm waiting for the incarnation to take place. Want me to run around the streets trying to expose myself? You've got to be nuts. The Bible says they're going to marvel that you don't run to the same excessive riot that they run to. And they're going to get mad because you don't join in their philandering. I want someone to show me why I haven't got a right to build upon the foundation. I'm going word by word and back and forth through the Bible. Oh, that's not good enough. Jump on down, speak in tongues. I've done all that. We got these birds running around trying to discern. I could discern, and I did it. It's not it, brother, sister. You're right back to Cain again. Look, I believe in genuine gifts, but unless there's absolutely proof that one of us here tonight has the discerning of spirits, Brother Brandon said, you don't even need to try it. Now, is someone going to volunteer? Now, look, if it's incumbent upon us, for God's sake, somebody start praying for it. Don't you say, well, hallelujah, I'm free, bless God, nobody got it. Isn't that great? A bunch of people sitting around starving, and somebody said, well, hallelujah, we're all starving. Ain't that nice? Oh, shut up. My stomach's rumbling. I'm dying. Well, that's okay. We'll all die together. You think I'm stupid, think it over. No. There's a place here, brother, sister. I don't claim I've got it. But I know one thing. Brother Branham tried with me on two occasions to get a church and establish the gifts. And when he tried in his own church, they got out and he never tried again. And he told me personally, the age of gifts is over. It's run its course, but it doesn't mean there aren't gifts in the church. He said, as long as there's a true bride on earth, there'll be a true gift of tongues. I'm not against speaking in tongues, but I am in a public meeting where they have no right to speak and disturbing the service. And you're going to find the majority of people always out of order with it. Who needs it? It's like taking your car to the garage, and the guy said, well, that's a carburetor, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I think there's a nice place down here in this open spot on the transmission. I'll put it there. Oh, you say, come on. Oh, come on, man. Hey, look, you can't be so stupid. In the book, it tells you right here. And they think they're clever. Oh, they're brilliant. They're wise with the wisdom of God. Because they pulled the word apart and used it the wrong place. Well, hallelujah. Let them do what they want to do. Just don't count me in. By the grace of God, I want to stay with this word. If I can't do any more than just stand here as a witness, let me be a friend of the bridegroom. And be a friend of the bride to the extent that don't even stand in her way. Of course, a lot of folk think I do, but that's their baby. Now listen, now, old man, here we are. Blessed be the Lord. Now we come to the body to be, which is to be the bride of Christ, to be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Now that's not an accurate quotation, but it's in the Bible, right over there in the book of Ephesians. That's what Hugo says, that flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Now we'll hurry up now. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Ephesians 5:30. I want to ask you a question. Why didn't all your reigns back yonder bring the bride to Christ? I want you to answer me that. Now you see right away, Brother Branson, I'm going to bring you right to the bride. We're going to come right to the point there is a bride. There's no doubt about it. It's got to be the Word of God says so. Now you guys out there claiming you've really got it. You come against me, kick me out of your churches, run me down. Everything you've called me. And I've just taken it. And I've stood with the Word and done my best. But no, you guys want to have your way. You want to bring me into your camp or destroy me. Whatever it is. But just like Cain and Abel, now watch it, you're going to come my way or else. Now remember, there is such a thing as Christian supremacy. There has to be a group that is right. Now listen, Abel was right. Cain killed him. Paul's right. Luther, Wesley, William Branham, and at this age many, many more. They are right. But people won't accept it. They say, well, you're preaching some kind of supremacy. You're mighty. You're brainwashing. Absolutely. What do you think Paul did? These guys do it, but they don't allow you to do it. Oh, you're terrible because you're doing it. But when I do it, hallelujah. Shit. I guess I'm guilty to a degree, but by the grace of God, I hope I got the right word. Now, I'm not trying to brainwash everybody, just you people, because you're not very many. But if you think I'm going to run around the world and try to bring 5,000, 10,000 this message, you have misread me. Because Brother Brandon said it was all saned out. That's about 30 years ago. Bunch of new fishes come? You know, listen, don't fool with the prophet. That's the last man you want to tangle with. The Apostle Paul tells it flat. He said, what came the Word of God out of you? Just came it unto you. Now, he said, if you're a spiritual, got the Holy Ghost, you're one of the fivefold prophets, you'll say, hey, you're right. Now, he said, why didn't all your reigns back yonder bring the bride to Christ? See, at Pentecost, especially screaming, ladder rain, ladder rain. I want you to answer me that. If it's outcoming and it's overdue, we believe it. Like it was in the days of Noah, long-suffering. He's getting his bride ready. Why didn't these rains, why didn't you Pentecostals back yonder a few years ago when you started 40, 50 years ago, why didn't you bring Christ the bridegroom to the bride? So that's Matthew 25. Now they all screamed, they've done it for the last 2,000 years almost. Oh, here he comes, here he comes, here he comes. But there he is. And that's not what they were looking for. They misread Acts 3 100%. There's got to be a spiritual breath from God. And that won't do it. The next thing, Jesus got to still sit there. Now there's got to be restoration. And after that, watch out. It's over. And you're going to take a prophet. There's only one prophet in Scripture designated, and that is Elijah. And let's get this flat. Only Elijah himself will know Elijah. Well, bless God, I knew ahead of Brother Branham. You did not. You didn't have a clue. See? Why didn't they bring Christ, the bridegroom, to the bride? I'm going to let that soak in a minute. Why? Because you pregnated her yourself with your denominations. That's exactly what you did. He won't marry a whore. Ooh, mama, Presbyterian, Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist. Nazarene, especially. Church of Christ. Whore. He'll marry a virgin. That's flat, but that's the truth. You know it in a flat way. You don't have to wonder. I don't stumble around about it. I tell you the truth. Where'd you start? Back in Acts 20, all the elders came in and thought they knew something more than anybody else. They began taking the actual control of the church away from the pastor. We've had that here. I can see him sneaking around behind Paul's back and the rest of them. That's the picture Brother Branham had in his vision, the man in the black sneaking around, planting seeds. Say, Brother Bale, you're not nice. Why should I be nice? Why should I be nice? You tell me. The malarkey being taught. Where did Brother Branham say those things? There's enough people right now quoting Brother Branham, and every time they quote us for some little finicky funny thing. Get with the word, brother, sister. Get down here where it lives. If it's food you can't eat, it'll kill you. Get rid of it. Hey, look. My digestion's bad enough right now to try to tackle food that I like. Maybe a little bit too spicy or something. The bride does not have a stomach to stomach anything but the manna from heaven. Like the gentle Jew, the manna falling upon the grass. See? Now, why didn't you bring Christ, the bridegroom, to the bride? Couldn't do it. See? Why didn't you bring her? Why didn't you bring Christ to her? Because she's not fit. He found her in adultery. Exactly the reason children don't live forever when they're born. Adam found his wife impregnated or pregnant. That's the reason Jehovah had to take a Gentile bride, found her pregnant. That's exactly why the way Christ has to get him a bride now. He's found this so-called group pregnant. He's going to sow his seed. See, if he doesn't get what he wants, he's got to start over again. You plant something, it's messed up, hey, get back to where the value is. Somebody's going to get it because they're predestinated to be a church at the end of the road. Now, that's exactly what the truth is. The book of Joel tells us. Now, listen. He says here, why didn't you bring her? Why didn't you bring Christ? Bring Christ to her. Because she's not fit. He found her in adultery. Exactly the reason the children don't live forever when they're born. See, they're supposed to live forever. They're supposed to be born to live. How come? Hey, adultery. Why? Take it to your New Testament in the book of Revelation. He said, you are an adulteress. You're a false prophet. You are the whore, the great and the harlot with you. I'm going to kill you with death at the end time and put you in the great tribulation. I'm going to wipe you all out. Now that was said in the fourth age, and in the fifth he begins bringing his church back a step by step until the prophet comes after vindication. Now Brother Branham taught us that, and he's vindicated. Don't argue it. Don't try to figure it. For land's sake, every one of you has the knowledge of going to a restaurant. You don't know what they put in that food, but it tastes good, and man, you just slop it right down. Then if you get curious, how was that dish made? What if they told you they made it out of snaps and snails and puppy dog tails? Because you know you can make snails into good food. And they tell me that the reason people in France will eat snails is you would eat a rubber boot with that delicious sauce they put upon it. People eat anything. Is the bride that kind of a woman? Spice it up. Let me show you something now. We're going to get to this thing because it's in what I've been teaching you from Brother Branham. He found her in adultery, exactly the reason children don't live forever when they're born, and they're supposed to. Adam found his wife pregnant. That's right. That's the reason Jehovah had to take a Gentile bride. He found her pregnant. Now, if you don't believe the truth of impregnation, which absolutely is soaked, saturated, on fire, stimulated, you answer me, how come when Eve knew she was messed up, she said about Cain, I have gotten me a man from the Lord. Now I know, listen, I'm not a sexist, so women, please, please don't think this way. I'm going just to the word as the prophet did, because sex doesn't mean anything at this point. But I want you to see why Brother Branham called her a whore and a hybrid. I've gotten me a man from the Lord. Well, I'll just wonder. Oh, I won't say it because it wouldn't be. It'd be sharp and to the point, but I'm not going to say it. See, I'm so nice. You wouldn't even believe it, and I wouldn't believe it myself. See, she was stimulated. She was on fire. She was saturated. Hey, this is it. Now, that's the reason Jehovah had to take a Gentile bride, and he found her pregnant. Now, listen to me. A million more in 54. These people are screaming their insane doctrine. Now, we should be on fire with our so-called insane doctrine. You're a cult. Well, hallelujah, I'm a cult. God didn't say so, but if you say so, that's okay by me. What do you think if you went down the road there and you're one of these guys out there at the time of that volcanic eruption out there in Hawaiian Islands? And very few people knew that when that lava went out to the ocean, the funny thing was there was diamonds in it. Huh? True. And so a friend of mine met a friend of his walking on the street in Troy. And they were sporting diamonds like chicken eggs. Well, at least pigeon eggs. Or small bandy hens. And his eyes popped out. Gracious me. Even diamonds with flaws. Oh, they said barely cost us nothing. We were out there when the volcano took place and diamonds washed down into the sea. And we just picked these up and got them ground. Now, what if somebody would have said, now, I want to tell you what, that chunk you picked up, that's a little bit of something, you know, like glass that they, you know, like, well, like, you know, something, and, but it ain't diamonds, but it was. What do you care what they say? What about the man that found the treasure in the field and sold everything? I mean everything. The man that saw the pearl at great price. I mean, he sold everything. Oh, boy. You talk about a guy that put all his eggs in one basket. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that's the stupidest thing in the world. My name is Burkett, and I'm the guy that has all this great understanding of finances. Don't ever put all your eggs in one basket. Hogwash. I bet that guy's 14 times... Well, I don't know, really, but I got an idea. He's got 14 times religion. Wouldn't take this with a 40-foot pole. Sure, that's the reason Jehovah had to take a Gentile bride. He found her pregnant. All happy, happy. And listen, Jezebel jumping up and down. Old Ahab calling all the shots. Hey, this is wonderful. Elijah standing right there with his eye gleaming at them. Squinting through the desert sand. What do you think of Moses when he came down, Aaron, all of them dancing around the island? Well, I guess I better leave the country. Ain't no good to stand here. Everybody's gone but me. Elijah did say that. And God said, hold it, boy. 7,000 have abounded me. There's a remnant. There's going to be a bride. Now, don't ever forget it. Listen, he's going to sow his seed. And Brother Branham already said that he had planted a seed. And the seed was, who is this man? What does that mean? Nobody since the time of Christ. No record of Paul. Look at him discern. If that ain't God, what is it? Well, that's the devil. Well, you know, God gave him a gift. If you read about a certain bird called a cardinal, and you saw one, you'd recognize it. These guys read the Bible all about the cardinal named Jesus Christ, the great prophet. They didn't even begin to recognize it. Well, Brother Vail, I'd know. Would you know? You wouldn't know unless he told you, because that's the way the Bible works. So I should know something. I had a vision too. A brother called me about a certain something happened in Brother Branham's life. I said, son, have you ever had a vision? He said, no. I said, I had them. And you're there. You're there. I've seen like I'm seeing you people right here. But no voice is telling me what's going on. But that voice told me. It came past in 48 hours. I've had visions. You are there. Read what Brother Branham said. Hear what he said about his visions. He was there. Well, he was there and that was here. You can't, listen, you cannot trump God's ace. Anyway, he doesn't deal with the deck of cards. All right, he's going to sow his seed. It's done. Somebody's going to get it. Hallelujah. Because they're predestinated to it, you see, to be a church at the end of the road. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and make sure he gets it. The Lord himself shall come and put his church under subjection with his own word. The Lord himself, the head is here in the form of the Holy Ghost. The same one that came down at the time of the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles is here now. The same one that came at Pentecost dividing himself. Now listen, he did not divide himself and go, poof, nothing left. A little light came to each one and the great cloud went away till it came back to the Apostle Paul. The same one is here tonight, has been here with William Branham. Like Adam and Jehovah's bride, he found them pregnated with man-made doctrines and denominations. Like God's truth in Genesis 1, every seed has brought forth after its kind. So when the Spirit fell on her, man had been there to her womb and filled it with denominational seed of his own thinking. Now that's Brother Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 11. So Brother Branham is not saying this on his own. He said, as Eve was fooled, seduced. Now, if it's running in perfect parallel, then the seduction was not sexual intercourse. It was in her mind. Before sexual intercourse and pregnancy took place, it was in her mind. Now, we were not seduced. Brother Branham did not say to the bride, you didn't do it, you were seduced. He said, you were tricked. He said, Brother Dale, I believe seduction, tricking is the same thing. You are ridiculous. Seduction is where you commit the act. You're caught in a sexual act, which is idolatry in its antitype. So when the Spirit fell on her, man had already been there to whom filled the denomination seeds of his own thinking. So that's why she got to be the way she is, and Christ could not come to her. That's how, isn't it? That is 2 Corinthians 11. That is Acts 20. And the result is Revelation 3, 14 to 23. All right. Well, I've got no more time for this. We're going to go into... I was going to be happily reading every single thing for the next 7 or 8 pages. But I'm just as happy not reading the next 7 or 8 pages. No use worrying trying to get there because we never make it. What's about 10 minutes? 15? 10, yeah, I thought so. Pretty good guessing. All right, that's enough for tonight. Sunday morning, we go right on here, and I discussed it with myself. I didn't get enough cover tonight because I'd like to get into more things on Sunday morning than this particular passage allows. But this is the word that the prophet brought, vindicated by Almighty God, anointed to anointed ears and to anointed hearts to bring forth a bride unto Christ. Not one word will we bypass. We'll go into the whole word. We'll read it. It's going to set a good foundation what this is all about by vision. And remember, what is it? The vision? He shows the prophet what is going on. You say, does he? Yes. Remember Elisha? The Assyrians could not figure anything out. And they said, every time we move, they know about it. What smart guy is there? No, not a smart guy. There's a spy in the camp. Tell me, who is the one that is snitching on us? And they said, oh, General, I'm sorry, but you just don't know. You just haven't begun to live yet. There's a man named Elisha. And what's going on in the king's chamber and in your head and out of your mouth, he already knows. Well, he said, get him for me. I'm going to get the goose that lays the golden egg. Oh, get him. So Elisha said, okay, if he wants to play tricks, we'll play tricks. So he opened his eyes to God, and God gave him a vision. And he showed Elisha leading all those guys into a trap and then saying, go on home, boys. I don't want to kill you, but smarten up when you're in the presence of a prophet. How do you think they felt? Sheepish? Oh, brother.
Oh, man.
Boiling inside the sheevish. You ever around a prophet like I was? No, you weren't. You could feel sheepish. That might not be the right term. But you could sure feel something. You sure could. Well, let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your kindness, your goodness to bring us here, to give us the desire to come, the joy of partaking of the Word together, having communion, fellowship around this Word. Knowing, Lord, if there is one thing in our hearts we desire, and that is Word in our heart that is pure Word of God in our hearts, thereby becoming pure and washed. Not becoming pure and washed, and then the Word come, but, Lord, rather the Word coming to do the work. It's what you said in the book of Ephesians, and we're standing on it, and those that have washed their robes approach the tree of life, and we believe this is because the robes are without spot or wrinkle, and this, again, is the process of the Word. So, Father, we thank you as the prophet taught us and showed us here, step by step in Scripture, but based even further upon divine revelation, vindicated thereof, and we know that he sowed, said the truth, and he has sown a seed, which we have received and are receiving. Lord, we trust it's perfect the way he gave it, and we receive it the same way and talk about it and enjoy it and let the thing spring up with the blessing of God until we become that same Word of God we received in our hearts and our flesh becoming that Word, flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, by that Word and the life that is in it, not any other way. Lord, and help us to be more sincere, not erudite and flamboyant, and knowing these things, Lord, in a way that is the process of the mouth, but, Lord, knowing it, it's the processes of the heart, where the life is in our very souls and will come forth, O God, not just at the resurrection. Father, I would not like that. And, furthermore, I do not like it. But I want the life to come forth in my life that I can be a witness before people, the kind of witness that you want. Not ashamed of the Word, not ashamed of you, not holding back anything, but standing right with it. Not arrogant, sympathetic, yes. In moderation, yes. But in everything, in meekness, but in that be strength. Help us, O God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.